So let's turn in your Bible with me to 2 Corinthians 4, verses 1 through 18. There we go. And I'm gonna read this whole chapter. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 18. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word, but by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim, for what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifest in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. Since we have the same spirit of faith according to what has been written, "I believed and so I spoke," we also believe and so we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and bring us with you into his presence. For it is all for your sake, so that as grace extends to more and more people, it may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. For this light, momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison. As we look to the things that are seen, as we look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. Can you pray with me? Father in heaven, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the words of the Apostle Paul as he shares his ministry and how he persevered through all kinds of trials. We thank you for your spirit that guides us, strengthens us, and leads us. We ask for understanding from Paul how we can continue in ministry and in our mission to make Jesus known to the nations. In his name we pray. Amen. So as we're going to look at Paul and his ministry, there was three things that we see in this passage, and that is he had humility, he had courage, and he had hope. So Paul brings out these three things for longevity in ministry, and that means longevity for all Christians, because we are all on mission. We all have a ministry. Some of us just get paid vocationally to do it, but we all have it. Paul's first point is humility. And I'm not sure if humility and humor have the same root word, but they often seem to go together. And I'll give you an example. You know, learning a language is a place for both humility and humor. And when we were going through our cross-cultural training, we were taught that as you're learning a language, before you can master a language, you have to make about a million mistakes. And that's why I still don't know Slovak yet, because I haven't made a million mistakes yet. But I'm still learning Slovak, and I had just taken our kids to school, and in our first year in Slovakia, and a day laborer guy kind of stopped me and asked me, "Where's the local convenience store?" Every village has a little convenience store. And what I meant to say was that at the bottom of the hill, there's a little river, and on the other side of the river is the convenience store. And I said the little river because I didn't know the word for creek. But instead of saying the word river, rieka, I said the word for fish, riba. And so I told this day laborer that at the bottom of the hill, there's a little fish, and on the other side of the little fish, there's the convenience store. And he kind of looked at me sideways a little bit, and he said, "It's not far?" I said, "Oh, no, it's not far." And he just kind of shrugged his shoulders and, you know, went down the hill. Rebecca, language expert that she was, pointed out my mistake, and it's been a little family joke anytime someone asks us directions. It's like, "Oh, yeah, it's on the other side of the little fish." And yet our humility in language has opened us up to many relationships with Slovak. And that's going to, and so it's opened us up to many relationships with non-believers. So Paul had humility, and we see the impact of his ministry and reliance on God's mercy. Paul said there's only one thing that stands as the reason that he has this ministry, and that's God's mercy. He says that he has renounced disgraceful, underhanded, and cunning ways, those types of actions in ministry missional living are never about the success of the gospel or the salvation and growth of others. It's about or the glory of the Savior. Those are about a quest for greater personal power and prestige or position or control, and that's that means they're the fruit of the proud-hearted. You know, Paul likens himself to a jar of clay and a cracked one at that, and which the light of the power of God shows through. We are often, as we're doing hospitality, we're with neighbors. Sometimes they invite us to their parties, and Slovaks have healthy livers, and they enjoy themselves when they have a party. And it's during those times when they are feeling relaxed, they'll come to me or the Rebecca. They'll put their arm around us, and they'll just very transparently confess, "We are so glad you're here. There's something different about you guys. You guys are like role models for us. We need more married couples like you guys." And Rebecca and I just have to acknowledge to each other that's just Jesus shining through our cracks. And we have many cracks. This word picture is a rebuke to the prideful, aggressive, arrogant ministry styles that are too common and that dent the reputation of the gospel, and it harms people. You know, on the opposite side, weakness in ministry it doesn't get in the way of vibrant ministry and it's an essential ingredient, if that weakness causes us to run to God's grace for moment by moment help and to be open to the ministry of others and allowing others to minister to us. You know, finally, Paul says that he's not the center of his missionary vision. Rather, the good of others is his motivation and his goal. And he says in verse 15, for your sake, he's enduring and working as hard as he is. Yuri is my pastor. He's also my welder and fabricator. It's always good to have one of those. He built my smoker, so that's why he's a friend. He's my co-laborer for the gospel. He's also my good friend. And we have an understanding that whenever we bring each other an idea that for ministry, whether it's maybe it's a project with the youth, Roma community development, fundraising for a ministry building, whatever it is, the understanding is that the idea must be crazy. That's where it has to start at crazy. Now, that could be it's just part of our personalities. It could be that we're both males, iron sharpening iron. But I think there's a deeper reason for this. And I think if we have a normal idea and let's say we accomplish it, who gets the glory? Well, we did it. We did it by ourselves. However, a crazy idea or something insane, plant 20 churches in a year, there's no way we can do that, anything like that, without God. And crazy ideas require us to be humble and courageous. And if we accomplish it, then God gets the glory because he did it, not us. So in addition to humility, Paul's also courageous in his ministry of the gospel. Verse 1, he says, "We do not lose heart." And his ministry is characterized by an open statement of truth. Verse 2, You know, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We do not use this deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And there's no fear of man or the circumstances that cause him to compromise the confrontation, the comfort, or the call of the gospel in any way. Paul has courage in the face of suffering, not living in fear of being destroyed. How much of what we do as Christians is driven by fear and not by faith? You know, during our first few months living in Slovakia, in this little village, there was a buzz there because we were the first Americans, big American family, moved to our little village. And one day we got a call from an acquaintance, and he asking us, "Can I come by and ask you something?" And he was the local flour miller, and he was a prominent lifetime resident of that village. And we were kind of gripped by fear and the unknown. What was this guy going to ask us? Did he find out we were missionaries? Did we make some cultural faux pas and he was going to come chastise us for it and tell us we don't belong? And we prayed and asked God for help. And when he arrived, he kind of seemed just as nervous as we were. And he asked, "How do you make real American hamburgers?" So finally, we see this a beautiful picture of what happens when humility is mixed with courage. Paul says that we who live are always being given over to death so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh, verse 12. It's not a complaint about the hardship of ministry. Paul is our example of a follower of Jesus who has died to self and his desire for comfort and affirmation. The glory of self has been replaced by a glory of Christ. So Paul is willing to endure hardships in many forms for Christ. But there's more, and that is hope. Maybe hope is the most important aspect of all because of the grounds of Paul's hope. It's not in the force of his personality. It's not in his ability with words, the sharpness of his mind, his ability to motivate others, or his track record of success. Everything that gives him hope is rooted in the presence, the power, the promises, and the grace of his Redeemer. He's been humbled by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has courage because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and he has a sturdy hope because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. His hope is rooted in the fact that it is by grace and grace alone that he understands the gospel. He says, "God has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ," verse 6. Paul talks of how God turns death into life and how he has been blessed with the amazing resources of God's all-surpassing power. He rests in the reality that although he is outwardly wasting away, he is blessed with renewing mercies every day. He rests in the surety of a glorious destiny that will make this present suffering look light and momentary. Verse 17. Spiritual maturity in the life and the ministry of each Christian is about being humbled by the gospel, made courageous by the gospel, and infused with a sturdy hope by the gospel. As Christians, we are not naturally humble, courageous, or hopeful. We naturally swing from pride to fear and back. In order to be what we were designed to be and do what we are called to be as believers, we need grace, which we are called to protect and proclaim to others, minister to us in a way that progressively transforms our hearts. This means that in order to minister, we need to be rescued daily from ourselves. As believers, we are not as humble or as courageous or as hopeful as we could be by grace. We all need to grow in greater maturity so that we can experience fruitful longevity. And for this, we need faithful gospel community. Paul had co-laborers with him on his missionary trips. I have my pastor, Yuri, and the other men at the church. And here, you are all co-laborers with one another. Our crazy ideas require humility, courage, and hope. Paul's crazy idea was to take the gospel to the Gentiles, but it was actually God's idea. You know, my crazy idea was to move to Slovakia and raise a big family and reach Slovakia and the Roma for the gospel. But that was actually God's idea too. Keeping in mind that humility, courage, and hope will be your keys to longevity in ministry, let me leave you with this question. What is your crazy idea? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the giver of life and our daily sustainer. Fill us and strengthen us with your Spirit to follow Jesus with perseverance. Help us to walk in humility, courage, and hope for all the crazy ideas that you give us to stretch us and mold us more and more into the image of Jesus, so that all who we touch in our daily lives will not see us, but will see Christ shining through. In his name, amen.